Coming up on today's show.
In the American Catholic history, there are now a lot of amazing examples of God's providence, of people finding true, authentic sanctity on American soil. And we decided it's time to tell that story.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. They both will get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for free for the Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out each Monday morning. That's it, just once a week. While you're there on the website doing that, look at the top of any page on the site and you will see social media links, logos for Facebook, X, Instagram, and YouTube so that you can engage with me and the show that way. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group consisting of listeners of this show and some past guests. That is free to join, and you can also find a link for that too on catholicsportsradio.net. I love hearing from listeners, and so social media as well as the website all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Once you have a taste of success in sports, it's easy to be tempted to want more. One more Super Bowl win. One more Stanley Cup. Bring one more World Series title to our city. Or individual honors. One more scoring title. One more MVP trophy. One more first team All-Pro. Or the fans in the cities that have a pro team but no championship title yet. We just want one trophy. We have already been given so much. When our team gets knocked out of the playoffs, we should stop to realize how many teams would have loved to have just gotten to the postseason, period. Or those fans I just mentioned whose team hasn't won a title yet. You are blessed to have a pro team in your city. God has given us so, so much that we almost get lulled into an attitude of, yeah, that's great, but what else do you have? In fact, we should challenge ourselves to take a step back and realize the abundant blessings that our Heavenly Father has already poured out upon us. In the Old Testament, in 1 Kings chapter 3, God is talking to Solomon, and there is a message that we need to remember present day, since the Lord speaks to us through Scripture. In verses 13 and 14, it says, quote, "In addition, I give you what you have not asked for. I give you such riches and glory that among kings there will be no one like you all your days. And if you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and commandments, as David your father did, I will give you a long life." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is a former Major League Soccer player with over 100 MLS appearances throughout a six-year career that took him to four continents and more than 10 countries. He spent 10 years in locker rooms of the highest level, from the University of Maryland to DC United to the U.S. men's national team. On the faith side, after living a life apart from God for many years, he experienced the unique challenges of converting from within a professional locker room. Nowadays, he is the vice president of content at the Augustine Institute, and is co-host of the catechetical series Symbolon, which has a new version launching on the Formed app on July 17th. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Taylor Kemp.
Thanks, Bruce. Happy to be here.
Taylor, in that intro, I mentioned Maryland and D.C., but for anyone familiar with the Augustine Institute, that's Colorado, which all makes me wonder, where were you born and raised, and for that matter, what was the family size?
Yep. So I was born in Colorado. I'm from Highlands Ranch, Colorado. I was born and raised here. And then into a family of five. I have two older sisters, so I'm the youngest, and now found my way back to Colorado, but was not always in Colorado in between, but started here and am now happily back here.
Nice, nice. Since I already tipped my hand a little bit in the intro when I said he experienced the unique challenges of converting from within a professional locker room, just tell us first about what life was like in the Kemp household growing up, since it sounds like there was no faith being practiced at all?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I have a wonderful family, wonderful parents, very loving, believed in us, loved us tremendously, but I wouldn't say the faith was a significant portion of our life. Growing up, my family was loosely Christian and would go to a Protestant kind of larger church on Christmas and Easter some years, but I wouldn't say that the faith was really present in the home in any way. So I would have said that I was a Christian growing up, but it wasn't something that really informed my life until much later.
Okay, and we will come back to faith, including obviously your conversion story. But first, was soccer your one and only sport from childhood to adult, or did you play anything else when you were young? And for that matter, who or what did influence you to choose soccer at whatever point you first started into that sport?
Okay, so I love sports. I played lots of sports growing up, like many. So played baseball for a little bit, tried basketball, which didn't work because I'm not that tall. Played soccer, obviously. I loved golf. I loved tennis.
Wow.
My oldest sister played D1 soccer at Wake Forest. My middle sister swam and did volleyball. So we had a super active family.
Wow.
We loved sports. So I played lots of sports growing up. And then I had an affinity for soccer. You know, I liked it a lot, but also had some kind of, like, my build, so to speak, was very much, it lent itself to soccer. And as I got older and you can't play, you know, 10 sports, you then move on to like playing five and then eventually three. And then really the two big ones that I really loved were soccer and golf. And so I played competitive soccer and competitive golf through the eighth grade. And then when I got to high school, both of them were in the same season. And so I had to pick one. And I was better at soccer. In the end, I certainly picked the right choice, but ended up going with soccer, A, because I loved it, B, because I was good at it. And then the older you get, you can't do as much. So eventually it just got narrowed down to soccer was really what I focused on beginning in high school.
Will we still see you out on the golf course today, though?
Oh, Bruce, great question. Not as much. I have three little children and a full-time job. Golf is one of the brutal sports that takes tons of time and money. So it's not easy to convince my wife to let me hit the golf course for a couple hours. So I don't play very much. I still love golf. And then, you know, we can get into this a bit later, but I had several injuries. They were hip injuries, and golf is not easy on the hips. So I do still love to play. I typically walk away from playing around a golf with a little bit of a limp and try to get home to a not completely strung out wife. And so it is few and far between that I find opportunities to play golf, but I do still love it.
Gotcha. Gotcha. I mentioned that you played college soccer at the University of Maryland. Since your becoming Catholic was still quite a ways off, as a college student and as a soccer player, what did you turn to in times of need, in times of despair, in times when we as Catholics would turn to prayer and turn to God, since you already described for us that, sure, you were Christian, but maybe it was kind of a check the box and just go on Christmas and Easter kind of thing?
Yeah, and I would certainly say, especially by the time I went to college, I was not faithful. Like, I wasn't doing anything. So it's a great question. Like, how was I dealing with certain things? And Maryland was a wonderful college. They have a great soccer program. I went there in 2009, and in 2008, they had won the national championship. I was the number two ranked recruit nationally. I was an All-American, and I was the number one recruit to come into Maryland. And so I was coming into the reigning national champions. We were going into that season ranked number two in the country. And so, like, lots of stress, lots of pressure. And, you know, your question is, well, how do you deal with that? Because there was obviously ups and downs, which there were. And I dealt with it, you know, I would say in the way that, you know, probably most who are not in relationship with God did, which was I relied on my parents, calling them on so-called family support, on friends. And then especially in college, I did what a lot of college kids do, which is I was drinking a lot. I was doing all kinds of things, trying to at that point kind of distract yourself. I mean, when things were tough or we lost a game or I wasn't playing well, you lose yourself in something. And so I did that, certainly. So, and that runs its course. It doesn't really work. So it was a terrible challenge. I mean, I would say that a huge part of my conversion, which I'm not going to get into too much at this point, but a huge part of my conversion was discovering that there was a better way of being human and facing the challenges that we all face, whether for me it was in sports, for others it's in school, for others it's in work or relationships or whatever it may be. But that was a huge problem, was there wasn't a good way for me to deal with some of the challenges that I was experiencing, and I wasn't finding, you know, like satisfaction or abiding happiness. I was terribly anxious. I was very afraid of losing my spot, of getting injured, and that was hard to deal with at that time.
I was going to say, and folks, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know that I'm a big fan of not assuming. And Taylor, listening to your story, it's fair to draw the conclusion that maybe Satan decided to set up shop as your roommate at University of Maryland. Of course, we know that he is the champion of ego, and it's very easy in a situation like yours for him to convince you, number two recruit in the country, go out on campus and tell everybody, you're welcome, I'm here, to save the soccer program, even though they didn't need to be saved after what you just described the season before you arrived there. But did you find that starting to happen, or is it, you know, Bruce, I was highly recruited, but I did at least have my ego in check?
Probably somewhere in the middle. Pride plagues us all as the fundamental fault. So I would say that I had an ego, but it wasn't totally out of control. Like, I would say that I did have some genuine humility. It needed improvement, of course, but so I probably fell somewhere in the middle. But what else you're saying, and this is something that I would say I've noticed, you know, being in locker rooms for a long time and locker rooms at a high level, I'm sure this is true on guests that you've interviewed on this show. You know, one of the fundamental things to being a follower of Christ is humility. It's the door into the spiritual life, as a lot of the saints say, and the Beatitudes open with blessed are the poor in spirit, which is essentially a call to humility. And so, because to acknowledge God, you have to acknowledge your place before God, which is certainly in service to him, certainly beneath him, and then very much reliant on him. I would say one of the great challenges that I've noticed both in my own heart, but then in the people that I played with, where Maryland was a really good program, DC United, we were all professionals, and we were a very good team for several of the years that I was there. And then I spent a few stints with various levels of the national teams, is, you know, when you've attained success at any level, but for this example in sports, you've learned to like very much rely on yourself a lot of the time. Like, you've discovered that you are good at something. You've been able to persevere through the pressure. Mm-hmm. You've been able to perform on big stages. And so you grow very comfortable being self-reliant. And so then when you come up against Christianity and you're being told everything you have, you've received, everything you have is a gift, that your true happiness is found in true worship and giving over your life to God, it's very challenging for people. I've discovered that. I mean, I've found even when I was doing some Bible study stuff with guys at DC, there was certainly an openness to the idea of God. They desired to worship because it's a fundamental desire of the human heart, but they really struggled to like give over major portions of themselves because they're like, yeah, no, I've got it. I'm doing all right. I've made it really far. So yeah, that was certainly the case.
Well said, though. I love that insight. Let's fast forward now to your conversion. I read something that mentioned that in 2015, you experienced your first encounter with God through the lens of the Catholic Church during RCIA, but that doesn't tell me how or why you were even in RCIA to begin with.
So, you know, all conversion stories are winding. I'm not going to make your audience suffer through the long form, so I'll give the short form. But, you know, the reason I got into RCIA, which I was reluctant to do, was really for two reasons. The first was serious moral failure on my end. So I had been making decisions in my life that ended up seriously hurting people that I loved, in such a way that I, you know, kind of looked at my life a little bit and kind of was like, what have I become? And how did I get here? And how did I inflict such pain on people that I loved? I must have gotten something wrong. Ooh. So there was a very clear point where I had created such damage in people that I cared about that it put me in that place of humility. That I was like, oh my goodness, I've gotten some stuff wrong and I need to kind of reevaluate what am I doing and how did I get here? So that happened. So serious moral failure on my end got me to a place of humility that at least opened me up to kind of question, how did I get here? And then second, which is very much related to the first, was my girlfriend, who's now my wife. So, you know, I say moral failure and a pretty girl got me into RCAA. I had gotten to a place where I wasn't happy with where I was going. I was kind of appalled at what I had done. And then in a long process of trying to put the pieces of Brittany, my wife, but at the time girlfriend, our relationship, trying to put the pieces of our relationship back together, we were kind of left looking around out of options. We didn't know how to try to put the pieces together. We had tried on our own and it wasn't working. We needed to look somewhere else. And there came a day where Brittany came to me with an ultimatum that was like, we've tried everything. I think we need God. We've never really given him a shot. And she was a cradle Catholic. So she wasn't really living the faith out at that point in her life, but she was a cradle Catholic. And she was like, Taylor, I think we need God. Like, we can't do this anymore. Mm. And she more or less just gave me an ultimatum that was like, hey, if you're not open to giving this a shot, then we're done. And I didn't want that. And so she kind of forced me in. Wow. I figured I'd go and suffer through and we'd weather the storm and get through this and I would be able to drop out. Mm. And that didn't happen. So that's how I ended up forced into a basement RCIA classroom in 2015 in Washington, D.C.
Okay. And folks, this interview is being released exactly 1 week after we will have just celebrated Memorial Day here in the United States, which also means that we're now a little more than 4 weeks away from celebrating America's birthday, the 4th of July. And so it's fitting that Taylor he's going to continue and finish up his conversion story, but he's also going to tell us about a series that celebrates America with a visual journey of the Catholic faith across the U.S. I will be putting that July 17th release date on my calendar, although I could use a distraction right now from, yikes, an email that I got saying that the website hosting for CatholicSportsRadio.net will be renewed at the end of this month on June 29th in the amount of $467.64 to cover the next 3 years. See, I was so busy getting all excited the last couple weeks on this show about CatholicSportsRadio.com having come available and having obtained that domain, and now that balloon sort of gets popped by this news. And while some might say, ah, come on, that comes out to $12.99 a month for the next 36 months, Bruce, first I remind you that that's in addition to all the other expenses that I regularly report in this show, and secondly, I have to again point out that this is a ministry for me. This is not my full or even my part-time job, and I don't get any income from doing this, nor do I have any sponsors. And as a one-person operation, that all means that I have to try to find some way to cover all these expenses out of my own pocket. For those reasons, I ask you to prayerfully consider Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing. If this show is helping you in your faith life, if you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio, if you see value and the work that I do to keep this ministry going every week for well over 5 years now, and you believe in the mix of faith and sports and would like to support these ongoing efforts, do please pray about a financial gift to all of this that I'm doing. There is a blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net or .com. That is fast, easy, and secure, and there is no list of amounts to have to choose from. You can simply type in whatever amount you're comfortable giving. And by the way, this will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal. Alternatively, as some folks have opted to do, you can get in touch with me about sending a check through the mail. Contact me through the website or through social media, or simply email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will email you back with the details on sending something that way. Regardless of which method you use, the blue Donate to CSR button on the website or sending me a check, with your permission, I will happily say your name on the air as a public thanks or as some have instructed me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Taylor, let's finish up your conversion story and then move on to hear about the upcoming release of the new version of Symbolon. You were telling us how you had gotten to RCIA, so if you can just finish up your conversion story from there.
Yeah. So I get into RCIA in 2015. You know, I still vividly remember the first class. It was in September in Washington, D.C., which for anybody out there that's been there, it's like a million degrees. I go in there on a Tuesday night. There's no air conditioning. The, you know, wallpaper's peeling. There's a stack of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. I'm looking at that and I'm like, that's not even a word. I'm not happy. You know, I'm like, you had asked before, do I have an ego? At this point, I'm a successful professional player. I was leading the team in minutes. I was doing well. And so I was like embarrassed. You know, I'm like, probably going to be people that are going to recognize me. I'm not a religious person. I was not a happy camper. And so my girlfriend comes with me. We sit in the back of the class. It's pretty full, thanks be to God. And in walks this man in what looks to me, you know, like a bed sheet and beads clanking on his hip. And I lean over to Brittany and I say, is that a priest? Because I had only ever seen, you know, the black collar priests. And this was a Dominican priest. So if anyone's seen the Dominican habit, it's white and they wear a rosary. And but I hadn't seen that before. So I'm like seething at this point. You know, I'm not happy to be there. I'm like, this guy's dressed up. What is going on? And he starts to teach and it just has this incredible impact on me. Not like that much in the first class, but I remember in the first class, I was like, you know what? There's actually some interesting things here. You know, he was bringing up, it was an introductory class, you know, so he's just kind of welcoming people. And, you know, he's like, hey, you guys, this is RCA. We're going to cover, what does it mean to be a human person? Who is God? How do we know God can exist? How should sexuality be used? Like, he's just kind of laying out the table of contents that's going to unfold over the next 8 months. And I'm like, you know what? Those are some interesting questions. Because I wasn't brought up religious. And so these were new considerations to me. I hadn't really thought some of those were even like things you could get answers to. And so it at least piqued my interest. And that teacher, he was the head of the Thomistic Institute at the Dominican House of Studies in Washington, D.C., and his name was Father Thomas Joseph White. So, you know, Bruce, if any of your listeners are up in the Catholic scholarship world, he's a pretty well-known Catholic scholar. He's an excellent teacher, and he's now the rector of the Angelicum in Rome, which is a doctorate program there. But he's a brilliant scholar, and it turns out he had a relationship with the DRE at the parish, and so he would come and teach RCA for free for them because he just loved to teach. But he was an amazing teacher. And so I go, I'm reluctant, but my interest is piqued. You know, I knew I was going to have to go for at least a month or two to convince Brittany that I was at least giving it a real shot. So I went, and I just remember by about like the fourth or fifth week, I was no longer kind of arms folded in the back wondering when I was going to get out. I was kind of like really listening and quite fascinated by the teaching because I had just never heard any of it. I hadn't heard the philosophy. I hadn't heard the theology, and it was just pretty amazing. And so, you know, by about 2 months in, I had no intention of dropping out anymore. I was just kind of like, well, let's see where this goes. By maybe 4 months in, I was like, you know, I think he might be right. Like I was like, this is pretty compelling, the way he was laying some stuff out. And by about 6 months in, I was like, you know what? I don't know exactly what I think about the person of Jesus Christ. I don't know exactly what I think about the Catholic Church, but I'm in. Like, I was like, there's enough here where I can say I'm in and I have a lot of questions, but I can spend the rest of my life figuring it out. And so by the time I came in at the Easter Vigil in 2016, I was like all in. I was in love was curious. I was doing it all. I was ordering every book that I could. I started a Bible study in my locker room. I was making trips up to the Basilica in DC. I was trying to haphazardly create a prayer life. I was learning the rosary. I mean, it was a really passionate conversion that was incredibly graced, and I'm incredibly grateful for. And then that set up a really surprising trajectory for the rest of my life.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And all that, folks, and now you heard me say it in the intro, now he's the vice president of content at the Augustine Institute. And in fact, Taylor, I was about to ask you to tell the audience about Symbolon, but first, it's available on the Formed app. Just because I have and am familiar with the Formed app, I don't want to assume, there's that word again, that everyone listening knows about it and has it. So just if you would, a brief, here's what the Formed app is, and then we'll move on.
Yeah, great question. So the Formed app is, it's an app that comes from us here at the Augustine Institute. And the goal is to bring the best of Catholic content to people wherever they are. So Formed is something you can download on your phone. You can download it on your smart TV. You can get to it from the web. And it's here to be a resource. We have amazing kids content. So if you're a parent out there and you've got young kids and you're tired of having them wander through YouTube to find things or on the Disney app or whatever, check out Formed. We have some amazing kids content. It's some of our most popular content. We have great movies on the saints. And then we have incredible faith formation resources. So for anybody out there that's looking to learn more about the sacrament of confession or the Eucharist or a life of prayer or the spiritual life, we have tons on there. And so we produce a lot of the content here at the Augustine Institute. We have our own in-house production team. And then we partner with over 100 different content providers from around the world to bring great Catholic content to you. So it's great at the parish level for different ministry offerings. It's great at home for faith-based or edifying entertainment. It's great for safe, faith-friendly kids content. We have great formation resources. So check it out and download it. So that is the Formed app.
Yeah, I will put in a plug for the Formed app. That's something that in my monthly men's prayer group, we have used it. I don't want to say every month, but it's a good resource if you're part of something like that and you're looking for maybe some guidance or something different just to break up what you're normally doing. And by the way, Taylor, if the audience has been listening closely, I've mentioned that what's coming July 17th is a new version of the series. Symbolon has been a leading parish resource for many years. So what inspired you to refresh it?
Yeah, so Symbolon was the first program we ever made here at the Augustine Institute, and it was made 11 years ago. So there was a couple reasons why we wanted to redo it. The first was it's been incredibly helpful to people. It's our most popular program. And so we believe that it reached a point where it needed an update, and we wanted to provide the same great resource with the same mission, but a little bit, you know, easier to take in for people today. So for anyone that's seen the old Symbolon, Dr. Ted Sri was the host. He was an amazing, amazing host, but he's also a super public figure. And if you turn on the old Symbolon, you can tell it's old because Ted Sri looks a lot different. And then the other thing is there's been such tremendous advances in camera technology, in graphic developments, in educational formats, that we just thought that we could really bring a lot more into a revamped version. There weren't drones back then, so you can't do some of the beautiful overhead shots. Yeah, like the motion graphics were just not as easy to accomplish back then. And now there's amazing motion graphics that are basically, you know, retention and education aids that make it easier to follow along and to learn. And so we wanted to bring the same great program with a significant update back to serve the church. And so we wanted to have beautiful cinematography. We at the Augustine Institute, at the heart of it, are a school. We have a graduate school of theology that offers four different master's degree in person and online. And so we have incredible teachers. So we wanted to have beautiful cinematography, amazing motion graphics, combined with the great resource of teachers here, and bring the foundational truths of the faith back into the church in the same old mission as Symbolon, but way better, easier to take in, updated, refreshed, and a different type of storytelling.
Yeah, I love it. As we went into the break, I mentioned that Memorial Day is just in the rearview mirror, and soon it will be the 4th of July, and this refreshed Symbolon series celebrates America with A Visual Journey of the Catholic Faith Across the U.S. As someone who lives in Tampa and has been up in St. Augustine on more than one occasion and has visited the National Shrine of Our Lady of La Leche there, I love that you included that site, but I still have to ask, especially listening to so many guests come on this show and talk to me about all these pilgrimages they've done to historic sites around the world. The new Symbolon was filmed primarily in the United States. Why did you choose to stay close to home to tell the story of the Catholic faith?
Yeah, it's a great question. So in the first Symbolon, we really focused on the universal church, the grandeur of the church. The whole thing was filmed in Rome. And there's been a handful of other catechetical series that took the same approach, that filmed in Rome and then in Jerusalem. And that's amazing. These are the roots of our faith. We're founded in Jerusalem and in Rome. And so we're all for that. But one of the instincts that we had that really informed the way that we made the new Symbolon is we want to call people to holiness today and exactly where they are. And, you know, in the American Catholic history, there are now a lot of amazing examples of God's providence, of people finding true, authentic sanctity on American soil. And we decided it's time to tell that story. We wanted to tell the stories of the American church. The majority of the people who are going to watch this are living here in America. And we wanted to tell stories that of people who, hey, they became saints like down the street from you. These people found a way to do amazing acts of faith, hope, and love, to be recognized as blessed servant of gods and saints who lived in our modern day, you know, culture that's not that far off from our own. So our goal with Symbolon is to teach the faith in order to call people to the holiness that the Lord calls us to. And we thought that it was time to do that in a way that used a lot of stories and examples of people that were here in America, that were native to America or immigrants into America, that found really amazing ways to live out authentic holiness, because we wanted the people that are going to encounter this series to understand you are called to this same holiness. You are called to that today in the neighborhood, city, town, where you are. And we thought that by showing these examples, holding up some of the great stories that we have here on American soil, that would be a great way to do it. It would be a novel approach, but we just felt like it was time to not shy away from the roots of the faith that were found in Jerusalem and Rome. And we actually do still film a couple episodes there, but to really highlight the call to holiness that Vatican II called us to, which is the universal call of holiness, which for the majority of viewers in America, that's here, that's on American soil.
And by the way, folks, on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net or .com, I'm going to be putting a link to the page on the Augustine Institute website for Symbolon, so you can go read more about it. Just to set the record straight, though, Taylor, if someone says, I don't do the whole smartphone app, that whole approach, can they view Symbolon on the website, or is it exclusively on the Formed app?
No, you can go to the website. Yeah, it's a great question. So you can download the Formed app. You'll be able to get it there beginning July 17th. But you can also go on the web, which is just watch.formed.org. And then there will also be in the fall, especially for particularly probably parish leaders, if you're not able to commit to a full form subscription or you're not, maybe your Wi-Fi is a little weaker, there will be also Blu-rays available for purchase, which you could get through catholic.market and then just search Symbolon. And Bruce, the other thing I can add, you can sign up for anybody that wants to stay in the loop on Symbolon. You can go to augustininstitute.org/Symbolon. And there's a little form in there where you can just put your name and email. And that way you can just stay up to date. We'll email out when the first episodes are live. And so you don't have to always remember, but people can go to that site, augustininstitute.org/Symbolon, and Symbolon is S-Y-M-B-O-L-O-N. Sorry for the Latin word, everybody. And you can sign up to stay in the loop on all things Symbolon.
Yeah, I did see that email sign up. And folks, that is actually the exact page that I was planning to put a link to on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net. So if you didn't write it down, if you don't want to keep hitting the back button on your podcast player to write down what Taylor just said, just go to Taylor's show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net, and I will have that link to that exact page. And then, like you said, if you want to sign up to get the email reminders, that would be a good resource. Taylor, final question, and I suppose it's a two-part question. With all the sites you visited during the filming of Symbolon, is there one that you noticed just really found an extra special place in your heart? But also, after you retired from pro soccer, you and your wife set off for the 500-mile pilgrimage known as the Camino de Santiago. Did she also join you on any of these trips that you made for filming episodes of Symbolon?
Yeah, great question. So the first one, was there a special location? There was. I had the privilege of going up to the North American Martyrs Shrine, which is in North New York, in Auriesville, New York, where St. Jean de Brebeuf, St. Isaac Jogues, St. René Goupil, they were part of the Jesuit missionaries that came from France in the 1700s and then ministered to the native peoples there. And they have an unbelievable story. And that episode focuses on the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love. And part of the storytelling of that episode is you really can't explain what these men and women did and how heroic their ministry was, how difficult the circumstances were. Most of them ended up as martyrs, apart from the supernatural virtues of faith, hope, and love. So I loved that episode tremendously at the North American Martyr Shrine. And then to your second question, yep, we had the great opportunity to go do the full French way of the Camino. I had had three surgeries from soccer. I knew I was retiring. We were going to move back home to Colorado from Washington, D.C., and my wife and I didn't have kids yet. And we were like, well, when else are we going to get 2 months to go hike across Europe? So we did that. It was an amazing experience. I'd recommend to anybody who is thinking of a great pilgrimage to do. It is challenging, of course. And then, yes, my wife did get to come on a few trips, not all, but we actually took our two little kids. We have three now, but at the time we had two. So we took our 2.5-year-old and our 1-year-old all the way to Italy with us. So we went for 2 weeks and went to Florence for a little bit. And then they went with me into Rome, where we filmed at St. Mary Major. We filmed at the Angelicum and a couple other sites around Rome. So I had the great joy of going out there with them, which was funny because when I became Catholic, my wife had been to Rome before. I had not. And we kind of had an agreement that we would make our first trip to Rome together. And so when Symbolon came up and that trip was going to be made, my wife was like, no way, you're going without us. So we found a way to make it work, which was a tremendous blessing.
That's beautiful. Indeed. Indeed. Taylor, so wonderful to have you on the show. Thank you for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and your family.
Thank you so much. It was great to be on, Bruce.
And folks, I think it's fitting with the long storied career that Taylor had that we close out this week's episode with an athlete's prayer. And let's pray that together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For I asked God for strength that I might achieve. Instead, I was made weak that I might learn to humbly obey. I asked for help that I might do greater things. Instead, I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praises of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing I asked for, but everything I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. Because I am among all athletes who have been most richly blessed. You see, I lost by inches, but I won by a mile. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at CatholicSportsRadio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.